You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Friday so far. The weekend's not far behind, so no matter how crappy it gets, just hang in there. You know, normally I don't start the show with I don't start the show with like crazy heavy stuff, but last year the one service in the United States military who saw a decrease in suicide was the United States Air Force. So last night I was I was messing around and reading, and I saw a headline. With deaths by suicide rising, Air Force orders a resiliency stand down. Listen to this. This stuff kills me, by the way. I'll play you a message here in a minute, but I'm just going to give you the context of the story. After an alarming increase in suicide rates in the Air Force in 2019, Chief of Staff General David Goldfein has ordered all wings to stand down for a day and focus on resiliency and suicide prevention. In a video posted online Thursday, Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, Kalith Wright, said 78 airmen have taken their own lives so far in 2019. That's 28 more than had died by suicide at the same point in 2018, Wright said. And if the trend continues, the Air Force could lose 150 to 160 airmen that way this year. Our teammates are taking their own lives, Wright said in a video. We lose more airmen to suicide than any other single enemy, even more than combat. That's 78 teammates, that's 78 wingmen, that's 78 spouses, that's 78 brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, 78 who couldn't find a single reason to keep going. In a letter sent to all commanders yesterday morning, Goldfein, General Goldfein, said wings have until September 15th to hold their resilience tactical pause, during which they will set aside a full day of their choosing to figure out what needs to be done. So, let me play the video. I haven't heard the video, so let me play it, and we'll listen to it. But, post-traumatic winning, boys and girls. So, here's the, essentially the Sergeant Major of the Air Force. So the question is,
78 of our brothers and sisters have...
Oh, hold on.
Our teammates are taking their own lives. We lose more airmen to suicide than any other single enemy. Even more than combat. 78 of our brothers and sisters have given up on life this year alone. 78. That's 78 teammates, that's 78 wingmen, that's 78 spouses, that's 78 brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, 78. Who couldn't find a single reason to keep going. That's 28 more than this time last year. If we don't do something, we could lose up to 150, 160 airmen in 2019. We can't let this keep happening. This is our problem. And we have to dedicate ourselves every single day to building strong and healthy airmen, supporting and engaging teams, and cultures of trust and respect, to help keep these airmen hopeful, to give them an opportunity to thrive in this great Air Force. That's why General Goldfein has directed this resilience tactical pause, a break in the daily grind, so that we can focus. We can focus on our airmen and their well-being. Now, this is not a one-day effort to check a box. This is the beginning of a much-needed dialogue between airmen, command teams, helping agencies, and frankly, our entire Air Force. We have to get this thing turned around. This is your day, so make it your own. We won't tell you what to do. We won't tell you how to do it. You know best what your teams need. Use the resources that we've made available to you, but make it personal. Make it about them, all of them. Most importantly, keep this as a primary focus. Beyond this pause, make every single airman count every single day. You know, someone right now in your organization is struggling. Someone in your organization is suffering from post-traumatic stress or depression. Someone in your organization is feeling hopeless. And they may be thinking that suicide is the answer. Give them better options. Let's lead them to a better answer.
The So I emailed Ellen Dunford this morning. I presented post-traumatic winning at the Pentagon in May, I think it was May. And so I reached out to them. Actually, when I saw it, a kid who grew up in and played hockey with my kids is now an instructor at the Air Force Academy. Jacques Lamoureux, hockey player, went and played hockey at Air Force. And Jacques struggled in his life. And I've kept in touch with him and told him what I was doing. And so he reached out to me a few months ago and said, "Hey, would you consider coming here?" And I said, "Would I consider it? Like, hell yeah, I'd consider it." And so I'll be in touch with him today. But the answer is within the organization. It is not another external remedy. It is in learning the truth and then challenging the organization to do the things that you've already said that you're going to do. And that is to know these people. But as General Furness says, we have to know them better, right? It's not just performance conduct counseling. We have to know them better. And so, I'm hopeful, you know, today that somebody in the Air Force will see the merits of what's happening in the 2nd Marine Division. And hopefully I'll be able to add the Marine Corps recruit depot in San Diego to that list. But major commands that have heard this message of truth, have looked inward at the way they do business on a daily basis. And it's not just, hey, put your hand up, you know, put your hand up if you're hurting. That can't be it, right? That's, you got to keep both your fingers crossed and you got to say your prayers that if they get to that black point, that means they've already more than likely isolated themselves. They're probably using alcohol, maybe drugs, right? They might have a relationship issue. They might have financial issues, right? And they're not talking about it. So they've essentially walled themselves off into this hopeless place. And then it's really a question of the right permutation of events on a daily basis. And so, the key to it is knowing that we all struggle with it. We all struggle with it. And the power of that is profound. And again, it's not, I mean, so when I go, I wish y'all could come with me. I wish y'all could come with me when I go do this. And what happens is, And I talk to whoever's going to introduce it, and they know, by now they know, right? By now they know that that whoever introduces it has to have a story. So they stand up, and I'll just give you kind of the way it happened at the recruit depot. You know, General Heritage stood up and talked about having, I want to say, 5 foster kids in addition to his own 2 kids. And so he started telling stories of those kids. You know, 2 of them were AIDS babies and were crack addicted when they were born. And he starts going down the list. And it's jaw-dropping. Honestly, it's jaw-dropping. And you see, and so I normally stand off or sit off to the side where I can see the audience. And you see them look, and now they're seeing him in a way they've never seen him before. And they're sitting there going, holy shit, like, I didn't know. Well, yeah, nobody knows because everybody's faking it. And so... so he stood up and did that. I've told the story of another colonel by the name of Fahey, who another colonel by the name of Fahey, who talked about dealing with suicide in his life. First in his regimental command, then he had an issue, ideations with somebody in his family, and then that person tried to kill themselves. And then he told the story about driving home in San Diego over the Coronado Bridge, and two cars pulled off. He's driving towards the island in San Diego over the bridge. He sees two cars pulled off, and there's a woman trying to get on the hood of her car to jump off the bridge. And as he told the story, I mean, he couldn't talk anymore. And in a very cracking voice, he said, "All I could see was my daughter." Right? And then you look at the audience, and they're sitting there, and with the same holy shit look. I had no idea. This guy is a colonel. You know, he's the G3 here at MCRD. He's not supposed to have problems like that. And that's what everybody thinks, right? Because, you know, you live your life a certain way. Everybody thinks it's brass and chrome and marble, and it's not. And then on the second day, Peyton Davis stood up and she sang. And I introduced her. I said, "Hey, Peyton has flown down from Alaska to be here today. And she's got a story to tell you. She is an example of what post-traumatic winning is about." Peyton stands up and talks about she's going to sing a song that has incredible meaning for her because of her father's suicide. And that she was the one, and then she busts out into this. Okay, right, so. And then she talks about in the aftermath how her uncle, F-18 man, you know him as. He hasn't been on the program lately, so we should fix that. But anyway, that he hasn't, he was kind of blunt in asking her, "Do you ever get mad because your dad committed suicide?" And then she said, nobody had ever really talked to me like that. And so, he then tells her about me. And so she tells the story. And they're sitting there. Now, here's this, you know, singer, you know, very attractive woman right now. Like, what's going on here? And so, to me, once you get rid of that, us, everybody faking it, and you extend your hand, 90%, 90 plus percent of the people that are just dealing with their heavy issues in their life, right? There is a small percentage that have what I would say substantial infrastructure damage, and that is deep depression, that is bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, stuff like that. We tend not to deal so much with that in the military because they can't get in, but there is a segment that deals with that. And so once you get beyond that and everybody stop faking it, and then somebody sticks their hand out and says, "Hey, whenever you need to, you can talk to me. I'm dealing with the same shit, man. I can help you." It's amazing. It's amazing what happens. But if, on the other hand, your program, right, is if you're having issues, put your hand up, go to mental health. If you're waiting for that, I think you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So anyway, I'm hopeful that post-traumatic winning does an inter-service transfer, really to all branches, but to the Air Force in short order. And so, you know, I probably shortchanged post-traumatic winning. I've talked about the numbers out of the 2nd Marine Division. The numbers in the 6 months prior to, there were six suicides. I don't know how many suicide attempts there were. I need to track that number down. I need the numbers for all of 2018, because we're now beyond 6 months as a comparison, right? So, and they've had one suicide and one suicide attempt. So, I would tend to say that there's probably multiple attempts for everyone that's made, for everyone that succeeds. So if that's the case, you can see how significant post-traumatic winning has been for the 2nd Marine Division. But I will tell you this. So to me, the answer isn't another big program. You know, the answer is learn the truth, tell people to stop faking it, and then do the counseling piece. You might have to augment it a little bit with the Warrior Wellness Octagon or some version of that. So add that to it. And the key part is that you know that somebody cares about you and that you're not isolated. And as you've heard me say, the facing movement to the door of destructive behavior is isolation. And that's the key thing that you have to stop. You have to stop people from isolating. And the way you do that is by you stop faking it. You don't be afraid to talk about your problems. And I tell people all the time when people call me to talk about this, I said, you know what? If you could be me, if you could walk in my shoes and hear the things that people say to me, and I don't know them from Adam, it would literally blow your mind. I was sexually assaulted. I was raped. I was, you know, my daughter was murdered at a daycare, and I've never talked about it. I've never spoken about it. And so the amount of pain that people live with is stunning. And they do it in silence, and they fake it like everybody else faking it. And slowly but surely, right, slowly but surely, bad things happen. And they think they're alone, except they're not. Except they're not. And so again, you see these stories and they're heartbreaking. But on the upside, I hope, my fondest hope is that it provides an opportunity to spread the gospel of post-traumatic winning and to begin to save. And again, and this is the most wonderful thing about post-traumatic winning is that we go from trying not to have them commit suicide or some other destructive behavior and we want you to save other people. And then what sustains them as they go through other difficult times is the fact that they have changed other people's lives. They do know they can do it. And so it's like you fortify them, right? You transform them and fortify them by them helping to save other people. And so it's truly magical to watch it. And like I've said, I can't do it often enough. So anyway, but the Air Force wide will have a resiliency standout. So anyway, that's in my head this morning. And normally I don't start with something, well, sometimes I do, something that serious. But good morning to you. Whitney Houston on a Friday makes the morning official. Good morning.
Thank you.
And this is dedicated to leaders in the United States Air Force. There's a tool out there that you can use. I'd love for you to use it. And it works. It's got data behind it. It's got people that'll talk about it. So, do the right thing. This is dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I've stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, Infant Soldier Infantry, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather. I'm not just sitting here goofing off listening to Junior Walker and the All-Star. Although I could. Very easily. Somebody just sent me an email about the Trump administration pulling out of the INF treaty. You know, most of the time, when you see the United States pull out of a treaty, it's because the other, you know, country involved in it has been trampling on the treaty for years, okay? We normally don't just bomb out of treaties. All right, let's check the weather. Currently, cloudy at 79 in the Quantico area, sunny at 82 at Camp Lejeune, so moderate temperatures on the East Coast, 29 Palms, sunny at 88. Pendleton, cloudy at 66, Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 80, so warmer there. Okinawa, about the same. Except they have three weather warnings, and you know what that means. We have to investigate. Dark, cloudy, and 82 in Okinawa. So there's a storm surge advisory. There is a high wave advisory, and there's a thunderstorm advisory. So if you're on Okinawa, good luck with all of that. All right, let's see. Where did I leave off? Okinawa is where I left off. My computer's being slow. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 107. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, clear, and 100. And in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, it is cloudy and 68 degrees. Looking for a high of 84 today. Now, I don't understand. My phone, right? My phone says it's going to be 79 today. My computer says it's going to be 84 today. That's a fairly substantial difference. And my phone knows where I am. So I don't know. So according to this, it says 84 today, 85 tomorrow, and 85 on Sunday. I'm not sure what to believe. Maybe I should start plotting that. All right. Don't touch a dial. We'll check the news, including the United States pulling out of an IMF treaty and all that goes with that. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next. And then the chef will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk about food. I have some questions about, we did this recipe called Steak in a Bag, which is kind of a McNamara family recipe. You can find it online. I'll post the recipe today when we talk. But it calls for, like, top sirloin. And my ex-wife said, I wonder if we, like, instead of getting top sirloin, if we got a better cut of meat, like ribeye steaks, like real, like, inch-and-a-half ribeye steaks, and then laid them side-by-side, and then did all the seasoning on top of that. I wonder if that would work. So I need to ask the chef that. So, exactly. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, Call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be amazed of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
Time to check the news. There's a ton of it in the news. Stars and Stripes, top of the fold. Story is U.S. preparing to withdraw thousands of troops from Afghanistan in an initial deal with the Taliban. The agreement, which would require the Taliban to begin negotiating a larger peace directly with the Afghan government, would cut the American force levels in the country from roughly 14,000 to between 8,000 and 9,000 troops. Again, God help the Afghan people, man. The plan, which has taken shape after months of negotiating between the Taliban and Zalmay Khalilzad, the Afghan-born American diplomat, who was appointed by the Trump administration last year to jumpstart the talks. Officials said an agreement could be finalized ahead of the Afghan presidential election in September, though they cautioned that Taliban leaders could delay and that significant challenges remain. The proposal is likely to be viewed skeptically by some U.S. and Afghan officials who question the Taliban's honesty and wonder how the United States can verify whether Taliban leaders are following through, but if approved, it would be one of the most significant steps towards ending the war, a goal that increasingly has bipartisan support. So, again, and I think you know where the position of All Marine Radio is, right? The whole trust but verify, right? How do you, you know, we're going to leave and then who verifies what? The answer is nobody verifies nothing. And then, you know, hope's not a course of action. Hope is not a course of action. Next headline, USS Boxer, Iran interaction was mostly as we thought it would be. So kind of interesting story. The drone downing USS Boxer is ready to counter anything that's thrown at us by Iran should it encounter any new threats, the ship's executive officer said prior to departing Bahrain on Friday following a scheduled week-long port visit. The San Diego-based amphibious assault ship pulled out of Bahrain's Khalifa bin Salman port mid-morning on Friday, that would be today, with about 3,000 personnel embarked. The day earlier, the ship was a hive of activity as sailors and Marines loaded stores, turned wrenches, painted the flight deck in preparation for getting underway in the Persian Gulf. It made headlines last week when it downed at least one drone during its transit through the Straits of Hormuz. The Boxer executive officer, Captain Dale Heinken, told Stars and Stripes that interactions with Iran on the inbound transit through the Strait were normal patterns of life. Quote, we expected to see what we saw, and for the most part, it was exactly as we thought it would be, Heinken said. He declined to talk about the downing of the drone on July 18th, but said that his crew trains for contingencies when transiting close to Iranian shores. And again, Navy's been doing that forever. As for the outbound transit, I think we're ready to counter anything that's thrown at us, Heinken said. With that being said, I don't expect anything out of the normal or any of the normal pattern of life that we've seen in the Arabian Gulf. Interactions with Iranian ships or aircraft in the Straits of Hormuz are considered routine, he said. We'd probably come out and want to see them as well if they were operating close to our homeland. So, anyway, so interesting little headline. Finally, somebody from the Boxer speaking out. United States and NATO said they're prepared for the demise of the nuclear arms treaty with Russia. And again, remember this, Russia, the economy is the size of Canada, eh? And consistent with that, they can't keep up. And so it's problematic for the Russians to do this kind of stuff. And as much as they want to act like they're a big, tough country, the bottom line is they struggle. NATO will respond in a measured and responsible way to security challenges posed by Russia's new cruise missiles, the alliance said Friday, following the demise of the Intermediate-Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, a cornerstone of European security for the past three decades. The landmark arms control treaty, which banned a category of nuclear weapons, ended Friday following a six-month withdrawal period. The INF's end and U.S. criticism of the larger New START treaty, which expires in 2021, leave uncertainty over what limits, if any, will be left on the U.S. and Russian nuclear arsenals after decades living under those two agreements. The Trump administration announced in February that the U.S. would leave the INF because Russia had violated it, fielding new ground cruise missiles, the SSC-8, which has a range that can quickly reach most of Western Europe. In a statement on Friday by NATO, quote, Russia today remains in violation of the INF treaty despite years of U.S. and allied engagement, including a final opportunity over 6 months to honor its treaty obligations, the statement said. A situation whereby the United States fully abides by the treaty and Russia does not is not sustainable. So, as I said, you know, Moscow, right? They obviously have denied the missiles fall outside the limitations of the treaty. The 29-member NATO alliance has rejected Russia's claims. NATO says, and I quote, we regret that Russia has shown no willingness to comply with its international obligations. Russia's new intermediate range weapons can reach European cities within minutes. They're mobile, hard to detect, and they also reduce the threshold of any potential use of nuclear weapons in armed conflict. He goes on to say, we don't want a new arms race. That's the reason we will respond in a responsible and measured way. NATO would look into air and missile defense, better intelligence exercises, and other conventional options, and also new initiatives on arms control, he said. So that in the news today. Next story is the one that I discussed earlier about the Air Force. Air Force units will stand down for 1 day within the next 6 weeks to address the spiraling number of suicides among airmen, officials said this week. So the statistic is they have 28 more airmen that have taken their lives this year as opposed to last year. If you extrapolate that over the year, that's 56 increase. And so the total would be 160. I'm looking for military suicides, 2018. A total of 321 active duty service members took their lives during the year. 57 Marines, 68 sailors, 58 airmen, and 138 soldiers. So right now, according to the article, so the Air Force had 58 last year. They would have almost double the suicide this year relative to last year? That's incredible. So last year, let's just, for the sake of discussion, last year they would have had, at this time, half of what they had. So 58 would be 24, would be 29. They have 56 now. They're almost equal in half the year. Yeah, they'd have double the amount of suicide. That's amazing. If airmen suicides continue at the current pace, this year's deaths by suicide in the service would far eclipse last year's. In 2018, 60 active duty airmen, 17 National Guard, and 3 Air Force reservists died by suicide for a total of 80. According to the Defense Suicide Prevention Office. And then it goes on to outline General Goldfein's letter to commanders about the standout. Yeah, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal. And here's another story that war crimes related case tossed against SEAL platoon commander, San Diego. The Navy dismissed charges Thursday against an officer accused of covering up war crimes by a SEAL leader later acquitted of murder and ordered a review of the service's justice system. The action by the Chief of Naval Operations in the case of Lieutenant Jacob Portier is the latest blow to military prosecutors and comes a month after a jury cleared Special Operations Chief Edward Gallagher of murder and attempted murder. Portier, the leader of Gallagher's platoon, faced charges of dereliction of duty, destruction of evidence, and conduct unbecoming an officer for holding Gallagher's reenlistment ceremony next to the corpse of a teen Islamic State militant. The decorated SEAL was accused of stabbing to death after treating the boy's wounds. Admiral John Richardson dismissed the case because it was in the best interest of justice and the Navy, according to the statement. Wow. Richardson intervened a day after President Donald Trump ordered the Secretary of Navy on Wednesday to strip prosecutors of medals they were awarded for their handling of the case, despite the fact Gallagher was acquitted on the most serious charges. Eugene Fidel, who teaches military justice at Yale Law School and served as a lawyer in the U.S. Coast Guard, said he has never seen anything like this. He said there should be a court of inquiry, the highest level of investigative body under the military justice system, and that the proceedings should be made public because the American people deserve answers. We're entitled to more of an explanation as to why the case against Lieutenant Portier is being ditched. Are they saying the entire investigation, the entire set of facts, has been corrupted beyond repair? that doesn't follow. The legal military justice system, their integrity has been eviscerated. It's certainly discrediting to the Navy leadership to have the President of the United States strip away awards. The prosecutor, who had been removed before the trial and not given a medal, was admonished for taking part in an effort to use software to track emails sent to the defense team that a judge said violated Gallagher's constitutional rights. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so the moral of the story is you can misrepresent the truth, you can lie, just stick together and you'll get through it. It's amazing. And now the President of the United States piles on top of it. Yeah, stunning. The amphibious assault ship Tripoli, a big deck, right? And the difference in the Tripoli and other big decks is they have a larger hangar bay, and they eliminated the well deck in the back of the ship. So you would have embarked Marines would move by Osprey off the ship, and there would not be a well deck for anybody else to be on there using amphibious stuff. It will take delivery in either late 2019 or early 2020. The ship has gone to sea, and now they're working out, you know, a punch list with systems that are working, but according to Navy officials, may not work for the life of the ship. They're trying to mitigate that before the Navy accepts it. Let me read you the letter. We have a problem. Letter from Naval Special Warfare Command commanding officer to the force. 1. In our fast-paced operational environment, the behavior of our people and the integrity of our organization are continually being tested. The trust placed in Naval Special Warfare by our military and civilian leaders, the TSOCs, and ultimately by the American people must never be taken for granted. The responsibility for ethical and professional behavior must be taken seriously by everybody at every level of our organization. Second paragraph, right? So these are numbered. That was paragraph number one. Paragraph number two, we have a problem. In bold, underlined. Some of our subordinate formations have failed to maintain good order and discipline, and as a result, and for good reason, our naval special warfare culture is being questioned. I don't know yet if we have a cultural problem. I do know that we have a good order and discipline problem that must be addressed immediately. Good order and discipline is the foundation for every military organization and its leadership responsibility. As commander, I own it. As commodores, you also own it. We must now take proactive approach to prevent the next breach of ethical and professional behavior in our formations instead of continuing on our current consequence management approach. By 7 August 2019, I'm directing you to provide a written commander's estimate that describes how you and your command team will develop a plan of action that is informed by Naval Special Warfare Forces Ethics Assessment, dated 22 March 2019. This document gives a holistic assessment of the community to include a way forward. The professional development, I direct reading the first two chapters of A Tactical Ethic by Dick Couch. This book describes how we have had these problems in the past, and this provides a case study that we can use to recalibrate our culture and regain our credibility. 4. Additionally, I'm directing you to engage everyone in your formations, in garrison and deployed, within the next 2 weeks on the issue. I want all hands to understand that we have a problem, and that this is our main effort and my top priority. I will review and consider your recommended actions to develop my direction and the way ahead for Naval Warfare Enterprise. 5. Your commander's estimate will include A. Develop a problem statement about elite ECH-3 and below perspective. B. develop recommendations to ensure NSW culture is aligned with our ethos. C, develop a plus for buy-in from the ranks and a sense of urgency. D, describe your plan for intrusive leadership at the ECH3 and below level. 6. I expect good order and discipline to be instilled in and maintained by everyone in NSW. I know our leaders, officers and non-commissioned officers, are fully capable to take this on, and I will strive to provide inspiring leadership. Signed, C.P. Green. There you have it. I hadn't seen the whole letter, so good. You know, USNI, I told you, man, they do hard news. They do hard news. So if you want to take a look at that, I will put that in this hour's post. So you can actually do that. We talked about a crash of an F-18 in the vicinity of Death Valley that was operating in the vicinity of China Lake. The Navy has declared the pilot dead. You don't see that often. You don't see that often. They made no mention if they had recovered the remains, but yesterday they had said the pilot had not been found. And then late yesterday afternoon, they sent out a statement saying the Navy has confirmed the pilot of the F/A-18 Echo Super Hornet that crashed on July 31st died in the crash. So, again, thoughts and prayers to that family who's dealing with that. One other story. Senate confirms Admiral Gilday nomination to serve as a CNO in a unanimous voice vote in the Senate. So he had his hearing. We should probably take a listen to that one of these days. Here's the article about it. Gilday appeared before the Senate Armed Service Committee for his confirmation hearing on July 31st, where senators expressed their support for a quick confirmation vote for him. The committee voted earlier today to send the Gilday nomination to the Senate floor, where it passed about 2 hours later. Though Senate Armed Service Committee Chairman Jim Inhofe, who's a Republican from Oklahoma, had harsh words for current Navy leadership and their handling of acquisition readiness issues over the past few years, Inhofe made clear during the hearing that his frustrations was not aimed at Gilday and that he looked forward to getting the Vice Admiral into his new job and working together to tackle Navy challenges. So, anyway. So, new CNO for the Navy. Congratulations to them. Top stories in Stars and Stripes coming up. Not Stars and Stripes, Marine Corps Times. Yeah, I have slow computer today. What can I say? You know what that means? Got to do the restart. If you've followed the story of a truck driver who hit a motorcycle group called Marine Jarheads, former Marines, and killed them. I want to say New Hampshire. Investigators have confirmed that he was under the influence of drugs. Marine Corps Times has its obligatory story. About withdrawing from Afghanistan. It's also a story there. You can find, I want to see if they have the entire letter. I don't see the entire letter here in the Marine Corps Times. They do at They do in United States Naval Institute news. So, and you'll be able to find it in this post. Elsewhere, nothing. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then the chef will join us here momentarily. I know, Mac. What the hell are you doing? I got a slow computer today. What can I say? Number one story, Navy orders probe into actions of Judge Advocate General Corps leaders. In a sweeping series of measures announced Thursday night, Chief of Naval Operations John Richardson dismissed all charges against a SEAL officer charged with covering up war crimes, stopped the ongoing probe of another special operator's petty officer, and ordered a comprehensive investigation into the performance of the Navy JAG leaders. Wow. Right, you talk about a story that's been turned on its head. I mean, this is stunning. Stories by Carl Prine. I don't know. I mean, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. So this was all concocted by prosecutors who are out to get SEALs, and now they're being investigated? So, is this what, bowing to the pressure of the President of the United States? I don't get it. Let me just tell you, I mean, the Navy can't do shit. Honestly. I mean, you keep reading these kind of stories, and you're like, are you kidding me? Number two story, with deaths by suicide rising, Air Force orders resiliency standout. Again, that headline doesn't do, I'm critical of headline writers because they screw it up all the time. The story in this should be, the headline should be, Air Force suicide rate on a pace to double what it was in 2018. That's the story. It's called an alarming increase. Holy shit. It's the third story. U.S. preparing to withdraw thousands of troops from Afghanistan. Again, keep your fingers crossed. Support Afghan people. You know. Yeah, God forbid that America ever says we're going to come help you. Please, no. No, don't. We don't need your help. We've seen what you've done in Iraq. We've seen what happened to Afghanistan. Right? Stay away from us. Number three, divided Senate passes a two-year budget with a military boost. It's actually a pretty good thing. I mean, the military has scuffled to have some kind of consistency in the budgeting process. And this is a godsend. The U.S. Senate sent the president a $2.7 trillion budget plan with roughly $54 billion more in military funding over 2 years. Despite complaints from fiscal conservatives, the measure would raise the federal deficit. The agreement, which passed 67-28, has the support of President Donald Trump and bipartisan leaders from both chambers, but it sharply split Republicans in the final vote. 23 Republicans voted no and 30 voted yes. Trump is expected to sign the measure within a day, which is designed to prevent a partial government shutdown this fall and stabilize appropriation plans for all aspects of federal agencies until next year's presidential election. So again, when you talk to people that have done this, they say, man, we can't get enough of stable, even if it means, moderately lower funding rates, at least we're not going to have to deal with sequestration hanging over our head. The fifth story in Early Bird this morning, landmark U.S.-Russia arms control treaty is dead. We've already talked about that. All right, overseas operation report. The U.S. has a plan to withdraw troops down in Afghanistan. We talked about that. U.S. envoy says Afghanistan peace agreement possible in next Taliban talks. right? And then I think clear-eyed people are, look, hope is never a course of action. Pinning your hopes on the Taliban's sense of honor and equality, right, that they'll treat people fair, come on, like, are you stupid? Have you never been there? Oh, that's right, you have never been there. There's a story about, remember we talked earlier this week about somebody bringing a rocket launch tube that spent home as a military souvenir? Yeah, probably not the best idea in the world. There's an actual article about exactly that. Why bringing home casings of military ordnance is not a good idea. From South Korea, North Korea launched projectiles into the sea. This is the daily tirade, right? With the obligatory picture of Kim Jong-un sitting behind a piece of glass. I mean, it looks like a train, maybe. He looks like he's in a train. He's got a little desk. He's got a big set of binos in front of him. He's got, look like, some little portable computer device in front of him. He's got a remote control, too, on the desk in front of him. He's got three generals sitting behind them, nodding their head. Yes, 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 yes. And then they shot something into the sea. South Korea's military said North Korea fired an unidentified projectile twice Friday into the sea off its eastern coast in its third weapons test in just over a week. Look, they're trying to make sure everybody gets a memo. We're pissed! We're pissed! We're pissed! The North's increased testing activity is seen as brinksmanship aimed at increasing pressure on Seoul and Washington over the slow pace of nuclear negotiations. Now, again, just remember this, Grant Newsom. You can have a deal, it just has to be on their terms, and that's what he wants. Seoul's Joint Chiefs of Staff said the launches were conducted at 2:59 a.m. and 3:23 a.m. from an eastern coastal area, but did not immediately confirm how many projectiles were fired or how far they flew. So, there you have it. More temper tantrums. Now, yesterday the president, there's people on TV that piss me off, all right? And Shepard Smith is one of them. And the reason Shepard Smith pisses me off is because he talks about how tariffs are a tax on the American people. Okay, we all got that, Shep. Have you ever discussed how Chinese tariffs and the trade imbalance between our two nations isn't good for the American worker? You ever talk about that? You ever talk about the extortive nature? Yeah, extortive. Look that one up. The extortive nature of how China uses its economy to get done what it wants to get done around the world. The only thing that's important is that you get your soccer ball for $3.99 instead of $5.99. That's it. So your iPhone doesn't cost you an extra $45. If you're spending $900 for your iPhone, I'm thinking another $45, not a big deal. That's just me. That's just Mac. Right? But it's like, this is, you're getting screwed as the American people. You're getting screwed by the Chinese, because the Chinese won't allow America to produce and export. And the American worker's getting screwed by that, but you never hear that. So anyway, the president announced that he would, I want to say in the next 4 weeks, levy a 10% tax on everything that he said he would tax initially, but then he said he wouldn't, right? So now he's going to do that. And what he's doing is, and it's interesting because Grant Newsham and I have talked about this, and that is, what he said is, he will go ahead and, he knows that the Chinese are slow playing the negotiations because there's an election coming up, which is only smart, right? Hopefully, you know, in the Chinese eyes, hopefully Trump will get defeated. And we'll get somebody else in there that will give us the deal that we want, right? Declare victory, and we can continue this this game we play with the American economy, right? But I think, in my opinion, the president's doing exactly the right thing, regardless of what that idiot Shepard Smith says. So, anyhow, that is in the news. I thought I should mention it. It's interesting. This is an interesting conundrum. because of all the carnage, right? And the carnage in the Navy. All right, this is a publication called Breaking Defense. Will 4-star strap Navy pass on STRATCOM command? The Navy has 8 4-stars in its rank, a number that will stay steady when presumptive CNO Gilday is confirmed and gets his 4th star, and current CNO John Richardson steps down. The Air Force, by contrast, has 13 4-star generals. President Donald Trump has not yet been given a short list of potential replacements for General John Hayden as Commander of Strategic Command. But well-placed guesses are starting to bubble to the surface, including, somewhat surprisingly, an Air Force officer. Hayden is expected to be confirmed as the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff by the Senate after winning approval 20-7 from the Senate Armed Service Committee yesterday in a controversial nomination. Besides the most obvious candidate, Vice Admiral Mike Crete, deputy head of STRATCOM, at least one other Air Force officer is among the educated guesses, General Timothy Ray. Ray, a bomber pilot, has served as the commander of U.S. Air Force Global Strike Command since August of 2018. But wait, isn't it the Navy's turn to get the prize command? Traditionally, the Navy, the other service which controls nuclear weapons, gets the job after the Air Force, and so on. The only time this changed was in 2004 when Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld, hold on, let me wash my mouth out, nominated Marine General James Cartwright as part of his effort to reform the military. Don Rumsfeld. I hate saying that name. Right? But insiders at the annual STRATCOM Deterrence Symposium say the Navy is struggling to fill its high-level positions. The presumptive CNO, Mike Gilday, who's now the actual confirmed CNO, whose confirmation hearing went before the Senate Armed Service Committee on July 31st, was nominated last month over his 4-star colleagues after the surprise July 6th resignation of Admiral Bill Moran. Moran stepped away from the CNO job for which he had been nominated after losing the confidence of Navy Secretary Richard Spencer over conversations with another officer who had been ousted for inappropriate conduct. The Navy now has 8 4-stars in its ranks, a number that will stay steady should Gilday be confirmed, and he was. The Air Force, by contrast, has 13 4-stars. Further, some of the smaller field of Navy 4-stars are relatively new in their current roles. So, the Navy might not be able to take over a billet because of all the problems they've had with flag officers resigning. That's pretty amazing. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the All Marine Radio chef will join us, and you'll get to hear him wax eloquent. He's got a big weekend coming up. His brother and sister are coming in. Hasn't seen him in like 5 years. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio continues on a Friday as the chef joins us and we talk a little food. Yeah, pretty heavy. I'll tell you what, a lot of news out there. And let me tell you, a lot of head scratching news. Right, the Navy just turned, just said the prosecutors might be accused of misconduct. Now I get the whole bug in the email and all the rest of that stuff. Drop charges against somebody who was charged with obstruction of justice, conduct unbecoming? Did they do that all at the behest of the President of the United States? Question mark? Remember my little discussion about speak truth to power? So, interesting times we live in. More of Auburn Radio coming up next.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of...